Chapter 49.
Nora Manger was still kneeling on the ice when the bewildered Michael Tollan pulled the ground-penetrating radar's printout from her trembling hands. Shaken from seeing the floating body of Ming, Tollan tried to gather his thoughts and decipher the image before him. He saw the cross-section of the meteorite shaft descending from the surface down to 200 feet into the ice. He saw Ming's body floating in the shaft. Tollan's eyes drifted lower now, and he sensed something was amiss. Directly beneath the extraction shaft, a dark column of sea ice extended downward to the open ocean below. The vertical pillar of saltwater ice was massive, the same diameter as the shaft.
"My God!" Rachel yelled, looking over Tollan's shoulder. "It looks like the meteorite shaft continues all the way through the ice shelf into the ocean."
Tollan stood transfixed, his brain unable to accept what he knew to be the only logical explanation. Corky looked equally alarmed.
Norris shouted, "Someone drilled up under the shelf!"
Her eyes were wild with rage.
"Someone intentionally inserted that rock from underneath the ice!"
Although the idealist in Tollan wanted to reject Nora's words, the scientist in him knew she could easily be right. The Milne ice shelf was floating over the ocean with plenty of clearance for a submersible. Because everything weighed significantly less underwater, even a small submersible, not much bigger than Tollan's one-man research Triton, easily could have transported the meteorite in its payload arms. The sub could have approached from the ocean, submerged beneath the ice shelf, and drilled upward into the ice. Then it could have used an extending payload arm or inflatable balloons to push the meteorite up into the shaft. Once the meteorite was in place, the ocean water that had risen into the shaft behind the meteorite would begin to freeze. As soon as the shaft closed enough to hold the meteorite in place, the sub could retract its arm and disappear, leaving Mother Nature to seal the remainder of the tunnel and erase all traces of the deception.
"But why?"
Rachel demanded, taking the printout from Tollan and studying it.
"Why would someone do that? Are you sure your GPR is working?" "Of course I'm sure. And the printout perfectly explains the presence of phosphorescent bacteria in the water."
Tollan had to admit Nora's logic was chillingly sound. Phosphorescent dinoflagellates would have followed instinct and swum upward into the meteorite shaft, becoming trapped just beneath the meteorite and freezing into the ice. Later, when Nora heated the meteorite, the ice directly beneath would have melted, releasing the plankton. Again, they would swim upward, this time reaching the surface inside the habosphere, where they would eventually die for lack of salt water.
"This is crazy!" Corky yelled. "NASA has a meteorite with extraterrestrial fossils in it. Why would they care where it's found? Why would they go to the trouble to bury it under an ice shelf?"
"Who the hell knows?" Nora fired back. "But GPR printouts don't lie. We were tricked. That meteorite isn't part of the Jungasol fall. It was inserted in the ice recently, within the last year, or the plankton would be dead."
She was already packing up her GPR gear on the sled and fastening it down.
"We have to get back and tell someone. The president is about to go public with all the wrong data. NASA tricked him."
"Wait a minute," Rachel yelled. "We should at least run another scan to make sure. None of this makes sense. Who will believe it?"
"Everyone," Nora said, preparing her sled. "When I march into the habosphere and drill another core sample out of the bottom of the meteorite shaft and it comes up as saltwater ice, I guarantee you everyone will believe this."
Nora disengaged the brakes on the equipment sled, redirected it toward the habosphere, and started back up the slope, digging her crampons into the ice and pulling the sled behind her with surprising ease. She was a woman on a mission.
"Let's go!"
Nora shouted, pulling the tethered group along as she headed toward the perimeter of the illuminated circle.
"I don't know what NASA's up to here, but I sure as hell don't appreciate being used as a pawn for their..."
Nora Manger's neck snapped back as if she'd been rammed in the forehead by some invisible force. She let out a guttural gasp of pain, wavered, and collapsed backward onto the ice. Almost instantly, Corky let out a cry and spun around as if his shoulder had been propelled backward. He fell to the ice, writhing in pain.